Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I value your time and commitment to these brief minutes we have each weekday. And today I want to pull together some final thoughts on the immutability of God. God is immutable. And by that we mean that God does not change. God is unchangeable. Immutable means unable to be changed. And our God cannot and does not change. This week we have had the analogy of the rock. In Deuteronomy 32, God is described as the rock, meaning he is immovable. We look to God and we always find him the same. And I have wanted to spend a few days pointing you to this doctrine or teaching, because this is one of the reasons why I keep pulling us back to God and Abraham in Genesis. Why should we find Genesis applicable to life in this 21st century? There is such a vast amount of time on the calendar between Abram's day and ours. And yet, reading Abraham in relation to God is always fresh, stimulating, and instructive for us. I hope you have found this to be true and will continue to do so as we get into this 15th chapter of Genesis tomorrow. Because Abram's God is our God, and because God does not change, then whenever we deal with him in the scriptures, we are speaking of the one true God as he always is. There is no variation or shifting shadow in him. As God himself says, I do not change. So in this sense, we can put ourselves in Abraham's sandals and relate to him, to his wife Sarah, and to their son Isaac, and all Abraham's offspring. This is how the immutability of God applies to what we will be talking about upcoming, right here on God Is. And I must say, there is plenty more to say about God being immutable, unchangeable. But I just want to take a little time to follow up on those who say, quite loudly, in their teaching and writing, those who say the opposite, that God does change. Historically, we find this in the doctrine of God taught by Pelagius and some in Arminius. They say that God is subject to change, not in his being, but in his knowledge and his will. They make it so the decisions of the Lord are dependent on the actions of men and women. And there is pantheism. There, the idea is that God is an eternal becoming rather than absolute being. So popular proposals exist, and have for a very long time, that make God into what Louis Burkhoff identifies, as he critiques those theologies, a finite, struggling, and gradually growing God. We must learn how to discern true teaching from false teaching when it comes to the immutability of God. And that brings us to the present and a certain theology which goes by the name of open theism or openness theology, sometimes the openness of God or free will theism. By attempting to explain the relationship between God's knowledge of the future and the person's free will, adherents to open theism essentially argue, if we humans truly have free will, then God cannot possibly know the future, because if God absolutely knew the future, then we people would not be truly free. Therefore, here is what openness theology proposes, and I'm quoting from theologian John Frame, who is a sound teacher. Frame, F-A-R-M-E, says this, open theists infer that God is a temporal being, not above time, as in much traditional theology, that he changes his mind, that his plans are influenced by creatures, and that he sometimes regrets actions that he has performed, and that he does not have exhaustive knowledge of the future. On their view, God's regretting and relenting come about because human free decisions are utterly undetermined and unpredictable. So God must adjust his plans to the free choices of human beings. That was John Frame, and you heard there why they reject that God is immutable. God cannot and does not change. Open theists need to have a God who changes because they say God adjusts his plans to the free choices of human beings. Open theism holds that the future is not knowable. Therefore, God knows everything that can be known, but he does not know the future. And so they will disagree with what we have been learning over the last couple of days. One of the proponents of open theism is Greg Boyd. He pastors a church in Minnesota and runs a popular website called Renew, K-N-E-W. The byline is, "Rethink everything you thought you knew." Oh, I would say about 15 to 20 years ago now, I read a lot of what Greg Boyd wrote because he deals with the problem of evil. And who isn't interested in that? I was, and so I explored what he had to say, and that led me to others who teach the openness of God, such as Clark Pinnock, John Sanders, and William Hasker. These are some of the names to watch out for. And the belief that God does not know the future, in the sense that the future is open to many possibilities, and so God learns the future as human beings act out that future, has appeal to the problem of evil and suffering in this sense. God cannot stop or intervene in that which even he does not yet know about. So, for example, why does an all-powerful God not see to it that a man with a gun at a school does not pull the trigger and kill innocent children and their teachers? Well, he does not because God did not see that event coming. He left that over to the free will of the killer. So God is off the hook. He is not responsible for this evil and suffering. So the argument goes. This is how the open theist argues his or her point. To be sure, Boyd and these others say they definitely affirm that God possesses every divine perfection. They say they believe that God is omniscient, all-knowing, but here is the twist. God perfectly knows everything there is to know. The future is open to countless various possibilities, and that is outside the scope of God's knowledge because it has not happened yet. Those who adhere to open theism, what is, in my opinion, false teaching, they make several errors, but perhaps the biggest is that they confine God to time. God created time, and yet now God finds himself confined to the time in which he created? God's creation ends up having a power over God's ability to know anything beyond what is present. God is trapped by the present time. Well, this false teaching makes time greater than God. Are they suggesting that God does not know the beginning from the end? Yes, they are. But listen, listen carefully to God in Isaiah chapter 46 and verses 9 through 11. This is Isaiah 46 verses 9 through 11. Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country, truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it. This is the word of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 46, and this is just one scripture out of many that obliterates the very poor theology of the open theist. While I sympathize with anyone searching for answers to the very real problem of evil and suffering, I reject open theism, or the openness of God as a solution. For me, I know that ultimately I will not be able to fully explain the relationship between God's perfect foreknowledge and our, what we call, free will. I just have to trust God and the truth of what He tells me about Himself and myself in the Bible. I bring this up today so that you are aware, at least in a summary fashion, that there is a whole brand of theology called open theism that rejects the immutability of God. They say God does change. And here on God Is, we say God does not change. As I said earlier, there is a lot to open theism. So if you want to know more about this false teaching, write to me and I can give you some good reading recommendations. Here are two now. Get John Frame's book, No Other God, A Response to Open Theism. Published in 2001, it is available electronically or in paperback. That is John Frame's book, No Other God, A Response to Open Theism. And second, I have an excellent article here that in 10 points summarizes open theism. If you want this, write to me and ask for the article. Now stay tuned because my mailing address, my post office box, and my email address will be shared. So stay tuned and jot them down. Friends, I believe God is immutable, so that is who He is to Abram. Who He is to us. This is the same unchangeable God. Join me again tomorrow in Genesis 15 because God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.